Today is the feast of the dedication of the basilicas of Saints Peter and Paul, and there is also a commemoration in proper last gospel of the 26th Sunday after Pentecost, which is taken from the 6th Sunday after the Epiphany. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the book of the Apocalypse, chapter 21. In those days I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself with them will be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And death shall be no more, nor mourning, nor wailing, nor sorrow shall be any more, for the former things are passed away." And he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19. At that time Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief of the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, and he could not on account of the crowd, because he was low of stature. And running before, he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus was come to the place, looking up, he saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for this day I must remain in thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when all saw it, they murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man who was a sinner. But Zacchaeus, standing, said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, I give to the poor the half of my goods, and if I have wronged anyone of anything, I restore them fourfold." Jesus said to him, "This day is salvation come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. "And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people." These words are taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, when Constantine the Great succeeded in vanquishing the pagan emperors of Rome, he took great care to promote the cause of God's church throughout the entire empire. In fact, he built 7 magnificent churches in Rome. For you see, Rome had always been the city of 7 hills, and after Constantine, it would be a city with 7 great churches. The first church, or the Basilica, as it would be known today, was constructed in honor of St. Peter on the Vatican Hill. This edifice was erected directly over the spot where the Prince of the Apostles suffered martyrdom and was buried. As this church was rising to its greatness, next came an equally majestic edifice on the Ostian Road in Rome, and this church was constructed in honor of St. Paul. It too stood outside the walls of Rome on the very spot where St. Paul was beheaded for the faith. Now, Constantine not only built these churches, but he also richly endowed them so that the faithful would come from far and wide to receive the sacraments and honor the saints. Constantine was setting an example for all true followers of Christ who would follow him in the future. Constantine knew that God had blessed him greatly. He remembered the Battle of the Milvian Bridge, in which he saw the cross of Christ miraculously appear as his battle standard. And he strove to do all in his power to return thanks to God for these very singular blessings. And so just as God had given him blessings which no others had received, he wanted to give thanks to God in a way that only he could. And thus we have the seven chief churches of Rome. And to this very day, we celebrate the magnificence of these churches, and we remember how good God is to those who serve him. My dear faithful, this Thursday is Thanksgiving Day. And how wonderful it is that we live in a country that will set aside the day to thank God for all he has done for us. Starting with the great George Washington, many of our countrymen have always looked to God as the source for all the good that they have in their life. George Washington, the father of our country, actually said in his first inaugural address, "No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than those of the United States." He continues by saying, "Every step by which they have advanced to their character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency." And by that he was saying, everything we receive comes from God. How close his words are to those of sacred scripture, where we read in the Psalms, "Bless the Lord and never forget all he hath done for thee." In other words, all men must return gratitude to Almighty God for the great and the manifold blessings he has bestowed on us. For King David was divinely inspired when he wrote the exhortation, "Bless the Lord and never forget all he hath done for thee." This was what the founding father and first president of our great nation, George Washington, had at heart when he decreed Thanksgiving Day be recognized as a national holiday. And so on October 3rd in the year 1789, George Washington instituted this holiday so that all the citizens of our country would show gratitude to God. As fervent Catholics, however, we must not be content to thank God on Thanksgiving Day alone. We must always bless the Lord, as the psalm tells us, and never forget all he has done for us. That is, we must be always mindful of the many blessings he has bestowed upon us, upon our families, and our country. My dear friends, it should not be difficult for us to quickly form a list of the many spiritual and temporal gifts for which we owe gratitude. As Creator, God the Father has given us life, our family, our health, and most importantly, his only begotten Son. As Redeemer, God the Son has given us the graces earned by his precious blood throughout his life, his sufferings, his passion, and death. And as Sanctifier, God the Holy Ghost applies those graces to us when we need them most. Just as the sense of gratitude moved Constantine to build the great basilicas we remember in today's Mass, we can be encouraged by realizing that God will be content with our efforts if we strive each day to thank him to the best of our abilities. This practice of thanking God each day is very consoling, because it opens our eyes to just how many graces God gives us each day. And furthermore, it is a simple practice. It is a practice which spontaneously arises from the realization that God loves us and showers us with his blessings. My dear faithful, while showing God our gratitude for our spiritual and material blessings, let us never forget that He should be thanked for crosses and trials as well. If a trial comes into your life, thank God for it. After all, He gives us crosses for our own spiritual advancement. And thus trials and crosses prove God's love for us and desire to have us near Him. Thus the trials are, in fact, a sign of greater love on His part, because if well taken, they will lead to a greater eternal reward. Let us never fail to show God our gratitude each day. And finally, my dear faithful, let us ask our Heavenly Mother to inspire us with the spirit of gratitude that so inflamed her own immaculate heart. She gratefully accepted from God the joys of Bethlehem, the toils of Nazareth, and the sorrow of Calvary. If we ask, she will obtain for us the grace to make acts of gratitude each and every day. After all, it is she who gave us the unmatched canticle of praise and gratitude, the Magnificat, which the Church prays each and every day in the Divine Office. With her help and our efforts, let us strive then to make every day a day of giving thanks, or thanksgiving. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.